Can you open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19? So we've been dwelling the past few weeks in the book of Kings, 1 Kings specifically, and we've been doing a chapter-by-chapter study of this beautiful book. We've been looking at some of what appears to us to be stories, but I tell you, they are not actually stories. Because Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Okay, so we've been reading it. Pastor has encouraged us to read a chapter a week. And it's just so that we can get hope from this, from what happened to those people. So this is not like a movie, okay? Don't make it like a movie in your head. I tend to do that sometimes, and I just, you know, kind of watch it in my mind. But, you know, most importantly, ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to you through these verses as we continue to study along. So last week, especially for those who were not here, we zeroed in on chapter 19 of 1 Kings, and we looked at Elijah. We looked at Elijah. If you missed that message, you can go back. It's available on our YouTube page, on our website as well, or you can search through Facebook. We're streaming live. By the way, we welcome again those who are joining us online. We pray that this word will bless you. So I'm going to read a few verses before I proceed. I'm just going to read verses 5 to 8 of 1 Kings chapter 19. "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him," we can have that projected, yes, "arise and eat." Then, verse 6, "Then he looked and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." Can we pray together this morning? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear from you again this morning. The Bible says that the entrance of your word gives life and understanding unto the simple. We pray that your word will achieve this morning. It says you watch over your word to perform it. As your word is being released this morning, we pray for the performance of it. Back it up with your power and with your authority in the name of Jesus. I pray, Spirit of God, guide my words, guide my thoughts today. Let the words coming out of this mouth be yours in the name of Jesus. And I pray, let everyone be blessed this morning, both me and them, and everyone that will listen to this message at one point in time or the other. We pray in the name of Jesus that yokes will be lifted up. We pray that hope will be restored again. We pray, oh God, that you give a fresh focus, a fresh, fresh enthusiasm for life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. Amen. Amen. So quick recap. We looked at Elijah last week. We first started from looking at a few chapters before 17 and 18. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot our kids. Because we've had them throughout the school holidays in here. I'm used to you guys being here. Can you go to the kids' church? We love you. I'm sorry. Have fun over there. And I'm going to ask you, you better listen attentively. I've got questions after, okay? Enjoy. So that's what happened. When it's time to go into the word, I just focus on it. Yeah, so as I go on this morning, I must warn you, you know, I don't have all the fancy words of a preacher, right? Because I don't believe I'm one, but I believe I have the grace to teach. So there's going to be a lot of scriptures because scriptures just come alive to me. So there will be a bunch of them. So if you have your pen and book, please write down and go check it afterwards. It's good to always do that. Or your phones, you know, that would be good. And so I was talking about Elijah and how he did so many miracles, and he was, you know, bubbling with joy. You know, he was in a place of a very high, you know, victory. And then, you know, he crashed. And we find him in chapter 19, verse 3 and 4, saying that running away, afraid, scared, you know, with a feeling of hopelessness and depressed, and even feeling suicidal. And we looked at his life, and we find in his thinking, in his words, and in his actions, you know, by isolating himself, many classic symptoms of depression. And it got to a point. I kind of mentioned, we focused on what caused his depression. What are the triggers? So that was what we focused on last week. That what are the triggers? What are the causes? And these are pointers to how we can prevent getting to that point where Elijah found himself. You know, quickly we looked at the way he was stressed out. You know, he was exhausted because he did so many things and he didn't take a rest. And then number two, we talked about him believing the lies of the devil, you know, that he began to think and ruminate about it, and he began to say it out to himself and begin to act on it. And we look at fear and anxiety. You know, he actually ran away from a woman, you know. And number four, we looked at unmet expectation. You know, after that big encounter with those prophets, calling down fire from heaven over a, you know, waterlogged set of wood, you know, he would have expected that there would be a nationwide revival, but that it didn't happen. And we said we should not, we should be joyful before we expect something. We should be joyful if that expectation comes to pass. We should be joyful if it does not come to pass. If it comes to pass in a different way, you know, it shouldn't affect our joy. Because joy is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's from the inside. And number five, we said he was isolated. That compounded the depression. You know, this is not an exhaustive list. You know, what I've discovered from the scriptures is this depression or anxiety and all this, you know, syndrome we're talking about. So this is Elijah syndrome, part two. You know, syndrome is a set of traits that defines a condition. Okay, so all the things we're talking about, you know, I found out from scriptures that it doesn't only happen like it happened to Elijah after a moment of high. It also happens after a moment of low. You know, when, you know, you've lost a loved one, when something terrible just happened to you, or you lost a job, or, you know, something bad happens, that it can set in as well. But also it can happen without any reason at all. I've had people give testimony of nothing happened, you know. I just, especially it's happening in the church for, you know, a lot of times right now. I listened to a pastor who said, you know, years ago he was in depression. He finished, things were going well, and he just didn't feel like living anymore. He just wanted to get home and cover himself with a blanket and never get out of the house for no reason at all. So the Bible says, let he that stand take heed, lest he fall. We need to be careful of the wiles and the attack of the enemy. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God, Jesus said, is come to give life and to give it in abundance. So that is what we are dealing with. We are fighting some spiritual wars are going on in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual arena that we don't know anything about. But what I've come to tell you this morning, that I don't, if you forget anything that I'm going to say today, I want you to know that God has a solution. God has a solution. And before I expatiate a bit on that, I want you to think about what, you know, happened to Elijah a little bit more. You know, he got to that point where he felt like not going back, going on anymore. What are the symptoms of this? Withdrawal or escape, apprehension, fear, self-pity, feelings of worthlessness, you know, loss of confidence and hope, anger, irritability, physical exhaustion. You know, I'm just giving you a list, all those lists again. And I showed you a few statistics last week, you know, like the one from the Beyond Blue website, that 1 in 16 Australians are experiencing depression currently. One out of seven are experiencing an anxiety condition. And this numbers is not just in Australia. It's all over the world. And that's why I think the church should be talking about this. You know, and the WHO statistics, you know, says depression can also lead to suicide. It's confirmed that it can lead to suicide. So each day in Australia, 8 people die by suicide. 8 people. Can you think about that? 8 people by suicide. And all over the world, it says 800,000 people die every year. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in 15 to 29 years old. How sad is that? 15 to 29, the second leading cause of death. It affects more women than men, unfortunately, because I think women take a lot on more than men. I know the men won't agree with me. We take a lot more, not physically, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. You know, so I just show you all this to let you know that it's not just in Australia. You know, this is happening, and this is happening in the church. What we are talking about is universal. It doesn't exempt any profession. We've seen doctors, you know, going to depression. We've seen pastors committing suicide. It's everybody. You know, it has nothing to do with IQ. It has nothing to do with money, you know. So, but like I said again, God has a solution. God has a solution. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. The first part of it. Jeremiah, we can have that up, please. Jeremiah 30, 17. That is a promise from God. It says, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." That is a promise of God for you and I this morning. It says, "I will restore you. I will restore you. I will heal you. I will heal your wound. I will restore your health." Another translation says, "I will restore you back to health." So what Elijah, we're going to see from the life of Elijah this morning, how to overcome when you find yourself in this state. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. God has a solution. Don't ever forget. The God who healed Elijah can heal you too. You know, he can, and I was thinking about it while preparing. We always talk about physical healing. We always declare, "By his stripes I'm healed." You know, we always say, you know, we believe that the blood of Jesus is potent to heal our bodies. So if it's potent enough to heal our bodies, will he not heal our spirit? Will he not heal our soul? Right? God has a solution, people of God. He has a treatment. He can restore you back to health. Look at Psalm 34, verse 18. Says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saved such as have a contrite spirit." And Exodus 15, 26. I think we should look at that. The last statement in Exodus 15, 26 says, "I am the Lord who heals you." Who heals you? And that was Paul's prayer, I think in 3 John, saying that I pray that I hope that you be in health even as your soul prospers. Our soul needs to prosper, and God is the one who does the restoration, is the one who does the healing. So I want you to not forget that point. God has the power to take you out of that depressed state, to bring hope to you again, to lift you up, to change your situation, to comfort you, to help you, to sustain you, to see you through, in the name of Jesus. So shall it be for you. Amen. Amen. So the second point I want to make this morning is a lot of times there is a stigma. There is a stigma to these things we're talking about, to this syndrome we're talking about. People don't want to talk about it. But the first step is to admit that something is wrong. We have to admit that something is wrong. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 19. So please, keep your marker in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to be going back there throughout the message today. Verse 9 says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God kind of called him to attention to himself. What are you doing here? You know, he said, you know, you need to admit that something is wrong. You need to admit that something is wrong. Be true to yourself. Be true to what you're feeling. Don't put it down. The more you put it down and suppress it, you know, the more it gets worse. So what unusual symptoms are you feeling lately, you know? Let's remove the stigma. Last week, you know, it was Mental Health Week. There was a lot of things, talks about mental health on radio. You know, in my workplace, we had lunch and learn session throughout last week, talking about things to do, you know, to help our mental health. And one of the major things that everyone kind of was talking about is to speak out about it. You know, tell someone, tell your spouse, you know, our youth here, tell your parents if you're feeling something unusual. You know, you don't feel like going to school for no reason. You know, you feel down, you feel downcast. You know, tell someone about it. Praise the Lord. But the first step is just to admit it that something is wrong. Praise the Lord. So let's look at how God restored Elijah. I must say that I don't believe this is an overnight change. You know, it's not an overnight healing. God happens in a miraculous way. He can do it like that. But most of the time, it takes a process. Okay? And I just wanted to look at a few verses to show the process whereby God took Elijah through. And that will help us to see how we can overcome such symptoms as well. Number one is, look at verse 5-8 that I read. I read that when before I prayed this morning. It says that an angel of the Lord came to minister to him. What did the angel of the Lord do? He didn't lay hands on him or begin to, you know, I don't know, speak in tongues or, you know. Let's look at what he did to him. He says, verse 5, then as he lay and slept under a tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. So the first step in restoration is physical. It's not even spiritual. It's not spiritual. Food, good food, water, because one of the symptoms of depression is, you know, loss of appetite. In fact, I look at the definition of depression in the dictionary, and it says that it's a feeling of severe despondency and dejection, and in psychiatry is a mental condition, a mood disorder characterized by anhedonia, feelings of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy and guilt, often accompanied by lack of energy and disturbance of appetite and sleep. So lack of sleep, lack of loss of appetite. And that's the first thing. That's the first thing God did. You know, he sent an angel to minister to him. And if you read it a few verses further, he came back, he slept again, took a nap again, and the angel brought food and said, here is some more food. So that is telling us something, that we need to get some physical help. Good food. You know, physical fitness. Get out under that blanket and take a walk around you. You know, take a walk. Get some fresh air. Eat some good food. Take a nap. Praise the Lord. The Bible says God gives his beloved sleep. He can provide sleep. Get medical help. Some people think that medical science is anti-faith. It's not. God is the one giving us the wisdom to develop all these medications in the first place. That is my belief. And I don't see anywhere where the Bible says we cannot take medication. I'm yet to see one scripture. Praise the Lord. Get medical help. Go to the hospital. Go to a psychiatrist if you need to. If you have people around you with that feeling, get them help. If you're already on medication, you know, I know some people in the church now are on medication. Stay on it unless your doctor tells you otherwise. The first step in the restoration is not spiritual. It's physical. Sometimes there are some hormonal imbalances. That they just need to give you some things to settle your hormones. You know, I intentionally did not go and read about clinical depression because I don't want to, you know, diagnose anybody here this morning. I know nothing about medical science. Maybe you can ask Pastor Joe that question. I saw it, and I said, no, I'm not reading this. I don't want to misinform anybody. But go to your GP. Go to the hospital if you need to. I pray that the Lord will guide you to the right one in the name of Jesus. Look with me at Exodus 23:25. I know the scripture, but I read it in a new light when I was preparing for this message. Exodus 23:25. Can we have that up? It says, So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Okay, look at that final verse. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. What does that have to do with blessing food and water? You know, it just came alive to me, combining the two together. Food and water have something to do with sickness. So we need to be careful what we put in our system. We need to watch what we put in our system. We need to be physically fit. I think we talked a bit about it last week. It's a major cause of prevention. Be physically fit. Be physically fit. If you need to exercise, you know, if you need to change your diet, please take a step towards it. The good news is God doesn't leave us and say, this is what you need to do. Just go and do it. He also supplies the grace. He supplies the strength. I must confess to you, I've been, you know, struggling with health. It's not that serious, but food and fitness related symptoms, right? And in these past few weeks, I've been working from home for so long, and I've been just sitting there 8 hours a day. So it started to affect, having some imbalances, and I went to my GP, and they said, do this, do that. So I'm taking walks right now. I'm trying to lose some weight. Pray for me. I discovered that it's so easy to gain weight than to lose it. They just won't come off. So pray for me, people of God. So let's do this, and let's do this together. In fact, I'm looking for women in this church who will champion some physical fitness activities. You know, just before the lockdown, we did the Daniel plan. But immediately, I think it was our last get-together, the Bible study for it, that we went into lockdown. So we actually, all the things we learned, we actually didn't, you know, do anything about it. So I'm challenging you women here this morning. Let's do something about it. Let's not wait until we get sick before things start happening. Praise the Lord. I need to keep going. The second thing into restoration is, look with me in verse 10. We're going to look at verse 10, and we're going to look at verse 14 of 1 Kings chapter 19. So he said, I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts. So verse 9, let's read verse 9 first, sorry. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 10. So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophet with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Verse 14. He said something similar again in verse 14. I've been very zealous. You know, he just repeated himself again. But what I want to bring out from that is he actually spent some time with God. You need to spend time with God. You know, sometimes God brings restoration. He shows himself not in the hustle and bustle of life. It's in that quiet place that you have with him. That's where God begins to minister to you. And God can minister to you directly. You can have a direct strengthening and impartation from God in that place. What do we get from his from spending time with God? We experience his presence in a new way. We experience his power. You know, if we read it a little bit down, it says in verse 11, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains. That's the power of God. And broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still small voice. The Lord will give you a word when you spend time in his presence. Psalm 46 verse 10, the first part of it. Can we see that up? Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know my power. Be still and hear from me. Be still and let me, re-energize you. Be still and let me restore you. And the Lord will give you a word. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus quoted that scripture when the devil came to tempt him after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We get strengthened by the word of God. And we get it in the place of spending time with God. And I read you a verse of scripture last week. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. A verse that directly gives us one of the causes of depression. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. But I want you to look at the second part. Can we read it together? But a good word makes it glad. A good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of a man, when you let anxiety rest in your heart, when you ruminate about it and let it, feel comfortable in your heart. When a good word comes, it chases it out. Praise the Lord. A good word from the Lord. Get into the scriptures. Get those promises. Get so good those promises about your health, about that situation. Maybe, it was one situation or the other that caused your depression. Get into God's word and find the promises of God. Write it on little paper and tape it around your house. Put it on your mirror in the morning. Read it to yourself. Say it to yourself until you begin to believe it. Praise the Lord. And also, you be a giver of a good word. The Bible encourages us to be to encourage one another. Be a giver of a good word. Get in the word. Get his promises. Let the Lord refresh and renew you. I pray that the Lord would do so in the name of Jesus. Number three, I have two more to go. In fact, I have number three and number four, and we'll be done today. I'm going to let you go on time today. Amen. Verse 15 of 1 Kings chapter 19. Then the Lord said to him, and before I move on to this point, talking about the word of God, that was what came to Elijah. Did you notice this? So many of those verses, when you get home and you're reading this chapter again, look at different verses that says the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the Lord said to him, and the Lord said this to him. So the Lord actually, communed with him when he got to that place, when he became still in his presence. So verse 15 again, it says, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Azahel as king of Syria. So the third thing is for you to leave isolation. Get out of isolation. I know, that is contrary. That seems contrary to what the government is saying right now, right? Yeah, especially, in some countries where they're still experiencing, this COVID outbreak in a very deep sense of it. And please don't break any government rules. we're supposed to be physically distancing. But what I mean by living isolation is living that place where you are alone. You can physically distance and be in contact with someone. Somebody knows. Of course, you've already told someone about it. They are checking on you. Right? You get out under those covers and go to the clinic to get yourself checked out. You come to church. Thank God here in Western Australia, we can actually come to church. Let's stop. It's good, when you are not feeling well to stay home and watch online, but it's not the same thing. Is it just me? It doesn't feel the same. It's meant to be a stopgap. Look at what Hebrews 10:25 says. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We can't really do that, you know, totally online. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling. Do what you can. You might not feel like it. Get out anyway. And when we come here, you know, you get a good word. Right? I know when you always come to this city, I get a good word every time I come here. And then we do, like what we did this morning, we sang about his love. We sang about his faithfulness. He builds up faith in you again. Your faith begins to rise up again. So that as you walk out of this place, you are a changed person. You are ready to face another week. Praise the Lord. That is what coming together does to us. Even without anyone saying anything to you, you see other people of like faith, you know. You chat to them, you say hello, they smile at you, you know. They say a smile is one of the good medicine, you know. Somebody smiles at you and tells you that it's going to be okay, you know, and hold your hand or give you a hug. Thank God we are beginning to be able to do that little by little, you know. Get out of isolation. In returning and rest, shall you be saved. I think Isaiah 30 says that. In returning and rest, shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number four point this morning. So number one, what did I say? Physical restoration. Number two, spend time with God. Number three, leave isolation. Come out of your shell. Mingle. Go have coffee with your friends. Go have, you know, lunch. Come out. Get some fresh air. Take walks in the cool of the evening and meditate on God's word. Praise the Lord. And number four, this is my last point. Look with me at verse 15. We're going to read verse 15 again to verse 18. When the Lord began to speak to Elijah, it says, then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Azahel as king over Syria. Take note of what the Lord is telling him to do. Go and anoint Azahel. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whosoever escapes the sword of Azahel, Jehu will kill, and whosoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. This number four point is this. God gave Elijah a new assignment. He gave him a new purpose. He gave him something bigger than him to look forward to. You know, what you have done already, Elijah, is fine. You've demonstrated my power. You've called down fire and brimstone and I've consumed it. You've stopped rain for 3 years. You've declared that after 3.5 years, let rain start again. But forget those things that are behind. I'm giving you a new purpose. Go and do this. Go and anoint that person. Go and get Elisha and begin to mentor him. Begin to pour out into him. Begin to show him the way. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, people of God. Let God give you a new purpose. Let God give you a fresh, it might not even be a new purpose. It might be what God has already told you before that you've not been doing anything about it. Ask for strength from God to help you to step into your purpose. Because that is what the enemy is after. I preached a message a few weeks ago, sometime ago, and I was telling you that the devil is after your passion, is after your power, is after your purpose. He doesn't want Elijah to fulfill purpose because Elijah got to a place. He's supposed to be a prophet ministering to people. He got to that depressed state. He couldn't do that anymore. He was running away. But God restored him back and said, go back and fulfill your purpose. That is what the Lord can do for you and I this morning. So let God give you a vision that is bigger than you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, why we do not look... 2 Corinthians 4:18. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, I don't know what happened. And I'm not taking it lightly that something bad happened. But let's focus on things eternal. All these things that we have is going to perish anyway. We are going to leave it all behind one day anyway. Why do we now anchor everything on it? On that beautiful house, on that beautiful car, you know? Let's get something bigger than us. Find someone else to pour into. Serve with the whole of your might. You know, affect somebody else's life. I'm telling you, you know, I'm a civil engineer by profession, but nothing beats standing in front of you talking about the word of God. Nothing beats me, you know, encouraging a sister or a brother in the body of Christ. The feeling is not the same. I know I'm making a mark in my organization, but the feeling is not the same. Praise the Lord. Come, whatever the gift the Lord has given you, use it. You know, if it's a gift of helps, if it's a meal you can cook for someone, if it's a, you know, if you are the one that, you know, God has given a gift of encouragement, don't just let this scripture come alive in you and you keep it to yourself. Be a blessing to someone else. You begin to forget, you know, what you're going through when you begin to look at something bigger and something higher than you. Praise the Lord. You know, look at somebody who has a wedding date. I remember when I was getting married, my wedding date is set, you know, and, you know, after the wedding, and I'm thinking, oh, but we're back home then, like every month or so, or every other month, I will have malaria. Malaria is very common for those who are from that part of the world. So my dad would give us like something called Daraprim. It's a Sunday medicine to prevent malaria. I didn't even need it because I was so excited. I did not have a single malaria months and months before the wedding because I had something bigger, you know, that I was looking forward to. You know, I know that's a flimsy example, but I'm telling you, if you have something bigger that you're looking for, it excites you. It energizes you. It gets you out of bed in the morning. You know, a fresh vision for your children. A fresh vision for you being the kind of mother you want to be. You know, it will get you up in the morning early to prepare their food. Praise the Lord. A fresh vision about the type of man you want to be in your family. It gets you out in the morning to go and pray and cover your family in the blood of Jesus. You know, I'm telling you, it's a tonic. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you can read Isaiah 58:10 later. It says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then you shall not dwell in darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. Your light shall dawn in the darkness. There will be a light when you minister to somebody else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, you are going through anything, you know, that is challenging, you are going through a storm, I want to tell you, it will soon be over. Praise the Lord. It will soon be over. The darkest hour in a day is just before dawn. God is about to bring about a turnaround. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. Whether you are in the highest of high right now or you are in the lowest of low, God's presence is right there. And I want to conclude this morning. Can we have some music? I want to conclude this morning by encouraging you to get a fresh revelation of God's love. Get a fresh revelation of God's love. You know, when I defined depression, it talks about a feeling. So all those things we're talking about, hopelessness, you know, feeling of unworthiness, feeling of sadness for no reason, they are all feelings, right? And I'm not saying that those feelings are not real. They are real feelings. In fact, can I tell you my own story? Years ago, I didn't know it was depression at the time because I must confess, I didn't do the right thing. If I'd known, I didn't know what I know right now, you know. I just had the feeling of, you know, it's a deep, dark place. You can't even explain. But what triggered mine was I was pregnant with one of my kids. I have three kids by God's grace. They're a blessing to us. One of them came early, you know, I think towards 30 weeks. I was getting to 30 weeks of pregnancy when I started having very severe pain. I don't think I've ever shared this story publicly like this. I know people that are close to us know. We were attending. Hill City Church hasn't started then. We had our family church we were attending. Of course, they were part of it, and they know. And then, you know, throughout the night, I won't be able to sleep. I'll be wriggling in pain, you know. And, you know, I must confess, my husband is a doctor, but I don't usually listen to him. I always go and get a second opinion. Because even with what I've been going through recently, you know, you say, go and lose weight. Go and lose weight. I'm like, everything about you is weight. So I have my GP, okay, and he's not him. I'm glad he's not here this morning, so I can tell you all his secret. So he gave me medication. It got to a time I went to see my obstetrician. Is that what they're called? Yes. And he ordered some tests, and I will feel better. Then I went back to hospital, and I went back to work when I feel better. This particular day, I went to the gynecologist, is it? Yeah. I went back to her, and she said, go do some tests. I did the test, and to cut the long story short, you know, I got to work. He said, if the test is not good, I'll call you. I got to work like an hour, and she called and said, take an ambulance to the hospital right now. I'm like, I drove here. My car is in the train station. He said, no, you can't drive. It's that bad. So I found myself in the hospital, to cut the long story short, and they said, we have to take the baby out. 30 weeks, baby. Take the baby out, you know. But throughout that time, it was like a dream, you know. When they took her out, and you couldn't even recognize her, you know. That was how tiny she was, you know. And I stayed there, you know, they gave me, I was there in the hospital for over 7 days. I was in the room there while she was in intensive care. You know, we didn't know whether she was going to make it. You know, I would cry, I would pray a bit and cry. And eventually they said, we can't keep you anymore. You can go home. I don't think, you know, the men here will understand what that means. You going home, having a baby, and going home without your baby, you know, is the worst feeling ever. And I got home, you know, I'm okay, you know. Of course, I was still feeling pain in my body, but it wasn't nothing compared to the pain I was feeling in my heart. I kept trusting God. We told our church family, our pastor started praying for us. They visited us before we left the hospital and stuff like that. And that time, I think it was depression, you know. And I just didn't feel like doing anything. I was, you know, I didn't, even when eventually, months after, when she came home, I didn't let anybody come see us for months until God lifted me out. Hallelujah. He lifted me out of that dark place. And one day I told Joe, throughout that time, I didn't go to church. And because I just felt, when I get to church, people are asking, where's your baby? And I'm still believing. And some people will not even ask because they would think the baby is gone, right? So I didn't go. But the baby came home, and the following Sunday, you know, no, a few weeks after, I just decided I'm going to church. And I said, let's call our pastor. We are dedicating this baby to the Lord. On my first Sunday back, we dedicated her to the glory of God. She's doing great, amazing. She's a blessing to us. God restored me. God healed me. You know, I felt like dying at that point in time, you know, but God brought me back. Praise the Lord. That is what God can do for you. So I want you to get a revelation. One thing that helped me through it all is I keep telling myself, God loves me. God loves my baby. God loves my family. I kept saying to myself, look with me at Ephesians 3. That's what we're going to pray with tonight. This morning. It says that Christ may dwell in you. Ephesians 3:17-19, that Christ may dwell in you through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. I'm talking to believers this morning. Grounded in the love of God. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may know the love of Christ. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. All these feelings we've talked about is nothing compared to the feeling of love. Love is a feeling, but it's also, God's love is deeper than the feeling. I love the way Nikki started us this morning. She didn't know what I'm going to conclude with this morning. But I believe God is saying this twice. Get a fresh revelation of the love of God. Write it on. Make it a screenshot on your phone. God loves me. Can you say to yourself this morning, God loves me. God loves me. That feeling beats any other feeling in the world. Praise the Lord. Let's begin to pray this morning.